here through 60 minutes and beyond. This is the Flames Talk Postgame Show, now available on Apple and Spotify. Here's Pat Steinberg.
Now, three games into the 2022 preseason, the Flames have sustained their first loss. They fall 3-0 on the road at Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle on this Tuesday night, and we get things going on your Flames Talk postgame show. My name is Pat Steinberg alongside Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, and we have got lots to break down from a 3-0 setback on the road. We'll go back to Climate Pledge Arena, hear from a member of the Calgary Flames, and we'll start to break things down. Gentlemen, Lou, I think that when you take a look at the rosters, you kind of expected one team on home ice. They're going to ice a stronger roster than the Flames, who did not bring a lot of NHL veterans and established players on the road with them. If things were to go the way they should, yeah, the home team should probably control this one. They did. There were some strong individual efforts from the Flames, which I think is more important in what you're looking for. I think in a lot of ways this one probably went the way we kind of expected it might go.
Yeah, I would say that that's a very fair assessment. And I was actually quite encouraged, Pat, by the play of a number of people that we singled out tonight during the pregame show, starting with Nicholas Melosh. I thought he and Mackey were a fine pairing tonight. You know, Mackey played more than anybody. He played 23-26, three shots on goal, had a total of four attempts. He blocked a shot. And the more I watch Melosh, the more I think that, you know, depending on the Shillington scenario, he might be an option come opening night. You know, we'll see, because I'm not going to evaluate tonight or Sunday the same way I might evaluate next Wednesday in Winnipeg. But I sure like what I've seen from him.
And I like what I've seen from Connor Mackey in two preseason games. And again, we'll see how he does as a younger player, as the competition gets a little bit stiffer as the preseason progresses. But you know, he's a guy who I think has looked good in a small sample size of NHL games in his career. And, you know, a young player who you expect to continue to develop and get better. I think he's got a better understanding now of what he needs to do and of what Daryl Sutter expects. So I wonder if Connor Mackey could potentially push to fill that hole that has been left by Oliver Shillington on the Flames' third defense pairing. And I guess we'll have to wait and see how the preseason plays out. There have been plenty of preseasons in the past, guys, where we were trying to figure out if the Flames had enough players under contract to fill an NHL roster, at least with NHL-caliber players. They've got a surplus of them this year, which is exciting. Might make it more difficult to make the team, but as an organization, that's the position you want to be in. And I think about the Red Wings teams that went to the Stanley Cup playoffs for 25 straight years. And during that period, or at least part of it, I was calling games in the AHL, and the team I worked for played in the same division as their affiliate, the Grand Rapids Griffins. And for such a long time, the Griffins had players who you knew could go up and play in the NHL. But what the Red Wings did was overcook them. I remember that's the word that they used to used to describe what they were doing as far as developing those young players. The idea was, once we call them up, they're not going back down. So the Flames, I wouldn't say they're in the position the Red Wings were for a quarter century, but I think they're getting closer.
Well, tonight, and I don't want to be overly critical, but tonight was one of those nights where the players that some people think are awfully close, I don't think helped their causes very much.
I would agree.
So, I don't need to get into big details where that's concerned, because I don't think there's a lot of point. But, amongst the young forwards, to me, Connor Zeri has been the best of that group. That would include, Phillips and Pelche and some of those people that they talk about. And really, I think it's on defense now, where we'll see what happens.
And Connor Zeri played 19 minutes and 33 seconds more than any other forward tonight, and played on both sides of special teams, way more on the power play than on the penalty kill. So Daryl Sutter doesn't hand out ice time for free. You got to earn it. And obviously Zeri did tonight.
So a lot to dive into. I think now if you were to ask me who the best player has been for Calgary in the two preseason games that I've been able to be dialed into, it wouldn't be a forward. It wouldn't be a defenseman. It would be goaltender Dan Vladar, as he went the full distance minus the final 2.5 minutes there when he was pulled for the extra attacker, went the full distance in this game tonight and has been really, really strong in the 5 periods he's played in his 2 starts. So let's jump in on tonight's save of the game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. So Dan Vladar starts for the second time in as many games, and his save of the game comes in period number 3.
True in there on the forecheck for the Kraken, as is Lind, who picks it up and feeds it in front. A bunch of bodies flying everywhere as the puck comes back to the blue line. Soucy with a slap pass, and now Eberle with a shot, and Vladar makes a terrific stop.
That would end up being one of the 32 saves made by Dan Vladar this evening, and that's the save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes makes a donation to Kidsport Calgary. Visit ShaneHolmes.com, the better way to build. And that's 2 starts, 5 periods, and with the usual preseason grain of salt disclaimer, Derek, that's 47 saves on 49 shots in 5 periods of work for a .959 save percentage. It's just he's been really well positioned. He's been anticipating. He looks square. He looks calm. He just looks really solid. And I know it's only the preseason, but those are some of the things that you can say, okay, that's definitely a positive sign, what you've seen from Vladar so far.
100%. I mean, he's only given up 2 goals in 5 periods of work. And I actually think that his performance tonight was maybe more impressive than his performance on Sunday night because of the team in front of him. He had a strong team in front of him in that game against the Canucks on Sunday night. And the opposition, the Canucks didn't exactly have their A squad at Scotiabank Saddledome, let's be honest. Now, you know, he made, I thought, 3 terrific stops in the first period. And if I'm not mistaken, his Shane Holmes save of the game on Sunday came in the second period. So he was good on Sunday. He stopped every single shot, all 15 that came his way. But tonight, he had the Flames B squad in front of him. And something that pretty closely resembles the Kraken A squad as the opposition. And I think you put it perfectly, Pat. He, for the most part, in 5 periods in the preseason, has made it look easy, which is what you want. I like to say he's been quiet in his crease. He looks like a goaltender that had a good offseason, that is confident coming into his second full season with the Flames and as a full-time NHLer. And Lou, if you're Dan Vladar, you know what the situation is. You've got a Vezina Trophy finalist in Jacob Markstrom. If he's healthy, he's going to be the number one guy. What you're trying to do, I think, is to earn more trust from the coaching staff, and you're trying to steal as many starts as you can. And if Vladar does that, I think that could be good for everybody involved.
Vladar won 13 games for the Calgary Flames last season, and it's very, very early. I just see a goalie in his first 2 appearances in the preseason that isn't just trying to get there. He looks like he believes he belongs, and that's the best way I can phrase it. I actually thought in the game, albeit not as many shots against Vancouver, he probably had more difficult saves to make in that game, but tonight, every time the puck got around the net, I just had full and supreme confidence that the red light wasn't going to go on. So he, for sure, Pat, has been the most impressive person through 3 games of the preseason.
Really positive stuff from Dan Vladar. We're expecting to see Jacob Markstrom get the start for tomorrow's game against the Edmonton Oilers. That'll be game 4 of the preseason. When that game's done, Flames halfway done their exhibition schedule. That game tomorrow goes at 7 o'clock right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Our marquee matchup in this 3-0 loss to the Seattle Kraken tonight, brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. And Lou, we talked on the marquee matchup about Sonny Milano and Cody Eakin, 2 PTO forwards who played in this game, and they're both fighting for NHL contracts. They're both fighting to come off tryouts and get contracts with the Flames. We don't think that they're fighting necessarily against one another and fighting for the same spot, but still looking for that same eventuality. What'd you make of Milano? What'd you make of Eakin in this one tonight?
I thought as was the case, maybe a little more so tonight, and he had more minutes to do it with. Milano had some good moments, but I didn't see someone tonight that separated himself from a lot of other people. Mind you, I wouldn't say that about Dylan Dubé tonight either, and we know his capabilities. I have really liked Cody Eakin, both Sunday and tonight. And maybe it's just because I'm more familiar and I know what he is, and I don't know what Sonny Milano is. I know what I'd like to see him be, but if I'm being perfectly honest, I haven't seen that yet. For me, I haven't seen enough.
Yeah, and the two preseason games that we've watched, that we've called, I got to tell you, if there is a spot open in the top nine, nobody's taken a big step forward in securing that spot, in my opinion.
Yeah, I would be on that same. I mean, I liked Phillips at times in this game tonight. I thought that he popped at times, and you just know that you're always going to get 100% effort. You know that he's not going to cheat you in that regard.
Ever.
But I don't know if that's a realistic thing. I've really liked Connor Zeri, but I don't think the NHL is the door's open yet
it's
for him.
It's not time.
You're right. It's not time. It's time
and he's
for
a
him
centerman.
To have.
They're looking for a winger.
He's a centerman, and he needs to have a full season in professional hockey.
For sure.
Things got messed up for him when he sustained that high ankle sprain in the first rookie game last year. He needs to start the year and get half or three quarters of a season in the American League, be one of their best centers, and then you can start to talk about when he might be knocking on the door. But this is a really positive camp for him. Those were two players that really popped. The only guy for me that really jumped off the page in the who might be knocking on the door, because I don't even know if I'm kind of going under the assumption that Milosh is going to be on the team. He's on a one-way deal. I don't know. I just, you go out, you sign him to a one-way deal in the offseason. That just feels like a guy who, knowing the circumstances, probably going to be there. I don't know. Maybe I'm being too presumptuous in that regard, but I feel like Connor Mackey's a little bit more on the bubble, Derek, and I really liked him again for a second straight game. I like Milosh too, don't get me wrong, but that pairing was solid, and Mackey was physical. He got some time on the power play. I didn't mind there. I know that we were talking about top nine forwards. Now we're talking about defense, but of guys that are kind of on the bubble, that's a second straight game I really liked Mackey.
Yeah, I think his stock is up. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Now games are going to get harder as you start to play against teams that more closely resemble what we're going to see when the season opens up in mid-October. But, you know, Connor Mackey just continues to progress, coming off an excellent season with the Stockton Heat. Had a career-high 5 goals, 31 assists, and 36 points in 53 games last season. And again, limited sample size. He's only played in 9 career NHL games, but he does have 4 points in those 9 games. Now, if you're playing on the third pairing, you're not being leaned on to be a point producer. You want to be able to go out there and be strong defensively and not give the coach something that's going to keep him up at night. So, again, and you brought it up in the pregame show, Lou, sometimes you're not picking the best player. You're picking the best fit. Is he the best fit for the third pairing? I don't know if the answer to that question is yes or no. But I do think that Connor Mackey has helped himself in the first couple of the preseason games. And you like to see that internal competition. You got Nicholas Milosh. You got Yusuf Alamaki. You got a bunch of guys that will be fighting for that spot. And I'm looking forward to that internal competition moving forward.
Well, speaking of which, I believe we're about to go back to Climate Pledge Arena and chat with one of those defensemen that we're talking about as we continue on your Flames Talk postgame show. Flames fall 3-0 on the road in Seattle. And yes, indeed, we're joined now by defenseman Nick Milosh, who joins us live from Seattle. Nick, appreciate the time. I know not the result your group was looking for. Just, tell us about the game today. In Seattle, how did you see it from your perspective?
I think we had a solid start. Couple penalties at the start of the second, so it killed a bit of the momentum, but missed a couple scoring chances as well. So that's the result. But I think the team worked hard, and we're just going to get back on track.
How did you feel playing with Connor Mackey for most of this game tonight?
I liked it. I think we broke out the puck pretty well. Solid in our zone. He's a great player, and I feel like we had a good connection. We talked well on the ice. There's for sure not perfect, but yeah, I think we didn't do a bad job there.
Nick, how are you enjoying your first little while as a member of the Flames? Tell us about how you're starting to fit in on this group.
I really like it. Everyone's really nice, and we have good communication all around the organization, I feel like. So it's been good. Everyone's been really nice, and just trying to fit in and do my job.
And finally, it feels like there is definitely a spot open to start the season on the NHL roster, and it feels like you're right in the middle of that battle. I guess just from your perspective, how do you see this battle for some of those spots on the blue line as camp continues?
For me, I'm just focusing on myself, try to be better every day and work in the system that it's imposed with us. I'm still trying to get used to it. It's a bit different than what I used to play last year. So I'm just focusing on myself and doing the best I can, and we'll see the result at the end.
Nicholas, appreciate the time. Good luck as the training camp and preseason continues. Thanks for doing this tonight.
No problem. Have a good night.
You as well. That is Nick Melosh, Flames defenseman, joining us here on our Flames Talk postgame show. A guy we were just talking about, Lou, and a guy we talked about on the pregame show. You know, the Eric Gudbranson conversation is really interesting. Not to say that the Flames are just expecting him to come in and do exactly what Gudbranson did last year. It's going to be tough to replace, knowing how solid he was on the third pair. But in terms of the way they play, the stature, what they can bring to the ice, I think that they're... You can see why they might say, okay, we couldn't match what Columbus ended up offering Eric Gudbranson. We wish him the best. Thank you for your great one year in Calgary. Here's a guy that might be able to play a similar role effectively as what Eric did so effectively last season.
Well, I think they want that kind of a third pairing. That every indication, and I think that's the reason they went out and signed this guy. Because when they evaluated his play last year, and he played 57 games for the San Jose Sharks, he's 25, and in his two games so far, he's come as advertised. He's been solid, he's moved pucks, he's done a nice job in his 10 minutes in both games of penalty-killing time. He's had pretty good connections, whether it was Zadorov the other night or Connor Mackey tonight, so... And I always prefer the lefty-righty when you can get it. So when Oliver comes back, it's going to throw a lot of different things and different options into the mix. But right now, I think they went out to specifically get him to try to replace not Eric exactly, but the type of player Eric was for this team.
Nick Melosh said something interesting in response to the last question that you asked him, Pat. Talked about getting up to speed with his new team and talked about how different the Flames style of play is from the Sharks style of play. And I do wonder if that puts him, especially early in training camp and early in the preseason, at a bit of a disadvantage to guys like Connor Mackey and Yusuf Alamaki, who have played in this system for a year plus under Daryl Sutter and have a better idea of what he expects and how to play the system. Not to say that he can't get completely up to speed between now and October 13th, but he's probably going to have to do a bit more work to do that than guys like Mackey and Valimaki, who have been around and been there and done that. So just another factor, but sounds like a pretty intelligent guy and a pretty hungry guy as he looks to become a full-time NHLer and looks to be a Flame to start the season.
That's why I'm even more impressed with what I've seen.
Yeah.
Because in terms of you've changed teams, you've changed styles, you've changed, you know, coach and expectation. And I don't think, in all sincerity, in the two games, he's missed a beat. I've been really impressed, and I watched him very closely tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I like what I see, and I like the potential fit.
It is time to get to our three stars of this game tonight. The Flames fall 3-0 to the Seattle Kraken on the road at Climate Pledge Arena. 3 of 5 preseason games in the books, and our three stars now with Mr. Wills.
Yeah, tonight's three stars brought to you by Silver Hill Acura. Family-owned and operated for over 35 years on McLeod Trail South. Visit silverhillacura.com. The three stars tonight just selected by members of the Seattle media. At Climate Pledge Arena, the third star, Jared McCann, the second star, Daniel Sprong, and the first star, Jaden Schwartz. They are your Silver Hill Acura three stars tonight.
Next up for the Flames is tomorrow night, Wednesday night. The Flames take on the Edmonton Oilers for a 7 o'clock face-off right here on Sportsnet 960, the Fan preseason game number 4. It's time to select tonight's player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. A 3-0 loss on the road, but definitely some individual performances that are worth noting. Lou, which way are you going for the player with heart?
Well, if I was picking stars tonight, it would have been Sprong, Vladar, and then Schwartz. So Daniel Vladar is my player with heart. I thought he was the best Flame tonight, and that is more than good enough for me.
If you missed it earlier, 5 periods and 2 starts, 49 shots, 47 saves, .959 save percentage. Pretty darn good for Dan Vladar through 2 games of the preseason. He is tonight's player with heart, brought to you by HeartFit Clinic. For HeartFit assessments and proven treatments not available at your doctor's office, visit heartfit.ca. As we start to wrap things up, phone lines are open on the Flames Talk postgame show. If you want to chat a little bit, anything Flames-wise, camp-wise, battle-wise, what you saw tonight in Seattle, what we might see Wednesday in against Edmonton, whatever you want to do, give us a call, 403-240-4444. Flames Talk postgame phone lines are open. Text line open as well at 960-960. So jump in line. We'd love to hear from you. I know it's the preseason. We don't have to go late. It's late, so we don't have to chat, but they're open for you if you want to. As we look ahead to the game against the Oilers, probably, Derek, a much different-looking lineup Wednesday as to what we saw in this game against Seattle.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it for more than one reason, but looking forward to being back in the rink tomorrow night for, and I know it's the preseason, and I know the Oilers are probably not going to send a strong roster down to Calgary for that game, but it's still the Battle of Alberta. And we had to wait more than 3 decades for a Battle of Alberta in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And if you don't think there's bad blood between the Flames and the Oilers after what happened last May, you're wrong. And we only get 3 regular season games between the two teams. So I'm going to cherish every single moment of the 2 preseason games between the Flames and the Oilers. So tomorrow night should be a lot of fun. And after we watch the Flames B squad tonight, we'll get a look at what's not necessarily the A squad. We'll call it the A minus squad. Is guys like Kadri and Tanev are still getting up to speed, and they're going to give those guys time to do that because they have time to do that.
Yep.
But we'll see a much stronger Flames team on the ice at Scotiabank Saddledome tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm actually looking forward to seeing the Oilers' younger players and who they decide to play. Dylan Holloway, the former Okotoks Oiler. I wouldn't be shocked to see him in the game here tomorrow. So, the Flames continue to work with chemistry and a veteran lineup, and the Oilers will have a mix, and I'll be watching some of their younger players.
See you Wednesday morning.
Sounds good.
Thanks for your hard work tonight, Pat.
Yep. Thank you, boys. I know that was not easy. Derek Wills, Peter Labardius signing off for the evening. Flames fall 3-0 to the Seattle Kraken at Climate Pledge Arena. 3 of 8 in the books. 3 down, 5 to go on the preseason schedule. Wednesday night at home to Edmonton is game number 4. Call now, 403-240-4444. Text now, 960-960. This is your Flames Talk postgame show, available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcast. You get to jump in and be a part of it around the corner as we roll on. This is Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. I have been really impressed with Dan Vladar so far through, again, yes, I know there's always that, well, it's the preseason, and you take the preseason with a grain of salt, and you can't, I get all that, and I've seen enough of it. I know the preseason very rarely and a lot of times translates to the regular season. And saying all of that, I really like what I've seen from Dan Vladar. He has made 47 stops on 49 shots. He's got a 9.59 save percentage in five periods of work. He started two games and has looked dialed, composed, well-positioned, square to the puck, really calm in his crease the entire stretch. So that's a good sign. I'm not saying that means that he's about to take Jacob Markstrom's job or that he's going to split the workload. Nothing like that. It's just it's a good sign when a guy who's important like that is as solid as he is off the hop. The preseason is different from the regular season. I grant you all of that. It doesn't mean that it's not a good sign. Let's hear from Dan Vladar. He allowed two goals. Both of them were pretty high-quality opportunities. Nothing he could do on either of them in this one tonight. Let's hear from Dan Vladar after making 32 stops on 34 shots on the road in Seattle.
I mean, we just battled, right? Like, obviously, a long day for us. Had a morning skate in the morning, then we traveled, got stuck in customs for a little bit. You know, when we just came right here and just for game, and they kind of came hard at us. But at the same time, I think we were ready since the get-go. And even though we had a kind of younger lineup tonight, I think we still battled and everybody played the right way. That's what my thought is right now. So I think obviously like we needed some goal, you know, to get some life, because it's harder when you play 60 minutes and you just don't get the candy, you know, and you're just still trying to push. Nothing's happening, and then all of a sudden, you know, we have a power play. They come out, they score the second one, and then you know, they had a little bit of a trend group, so it's kind of hard, you know. When you're down 2-0 after a second, it's hard to push back, especially right now when I think everybody had a little bit of heavy legs. So yeah.
I've never heard it called candy before. You should be a writer.
No. That's what you want, candy, isn't it?
Where do you feel like you're at right now? I mean, obviously you get these two early games in and maybe helps kind of set the stage for your preseason and just, you know, trying to feel the puck and kind of, you know, work through like everyone else is this preseason.
Yeah, obviously, you know, like... I'm not trying to put it in my head that it's a preseason. I'm still taking it as a regular game. You know, I'm going in on that to stop every single puck, to give our team a chance to win. You know, that's my job, stopping the puck, and I hate getting scored on, right? So I'm just doing my job, you know, and yeah, as I said, like, I'm not thinking about preseason or regular season or playoffs. You know, it's still the same game for me. I'm always doing my best.
Do you look at it as, you know, trying to make a statement that you'd be ready for some more starts this season?
Yeah, like, it can be a part of it too, but as I said, like, every time when I'm going to get a chance, I'm just going to do my best, you know, to help the team, you know, to get those candies. And yeah, so literally, like, I'm not putting any pressure on myself, and I'm not thinking twice about anything. I'm just literally doing one thing, and that's stopping the puck.
Daryl said, I think after Sunday's game, he felt like you really started to build confidence in the preseason last year, and you were able to carry that through. Did you feel that? Like, did you feel that kind of build last fall?
Yeah, especially last year. You know, it's always hard when you come into a new organization, new team. You know, you always want to have that first impression, and you know, and I was, and I'm still really thankful to the Flame organization today. They saw something in me, and they gave me the chance. So I just didn't want to waste it. You know, like, because you never know how many chances you're gonna get. So it's the same thing for me this year. You know, I'm really thankful for the opportunity, and I'm just gonna do my best every single time when I get called on.
That said, do you when you come back now as a second year, you mentioned it was, you know, a first season under your belt as a Flame, but now when you come back and you have that familiarity with the group, with the coaching staff, you know, how much confidence do you take with that into this season?
Obviously, like, you know, always those first couple of games last year, those are kind of, you know, because you never know if you're ready or not till you to actually get the chance, you know. So I kind of prove myself that I'm able to play this level. And for this year, again, I just don't want to waste the opportunity. I want to keep getting better and better and better to reach our goal, and let's go as far as we can.
Between you and Klapka, what are they feeding kids back home?
I don't know, if you would see us like without a T-shirt, you would probably say like he's eating something different than me. Like, he's a huge, you know. I don't know. Yeah, so no, he's a great kid, and I'm really happy. I already told some of the coaches that we need more Czech guys. Like, we just got a bunch of Swedes here, no Czechs. So we need more. Yeah, so we need more Czechs.
More Czechs, less Swedes, according to Dan Vladar. Again, how can you not cheer for that guy. He was our post-game guest on Sunday and spoke to the media on the road in Seattle tonight. Like, he's just an easy guy to get behind, an easy guy to root for. Get those candies, as Stu texts in. We'll see. I honestly think Vladar's got the opportunity to up his start count if he is able to take a step from last year, keep the trust of the coaching staff a little longer, that type of stuff. I think he can add 4 or 5 starts to his repertoire, kind of be in the 22-23 range this year. He was at 19 starts last year. You know, the 59-60 range for Markstrom, that's just fine. You know, if he gets down to 58, there's nothing wrong with that. You're still giving most of the starts to Markstrom. I just and it's less for me about resting Jacob, and I'm not saying that that's not important, but for me, I think the upstarts is going to be less about Markstrom, less about or almost nothing about Markstrom. It's going to be all about what Vladar's doing, and if he can continue to up his play, and if this is an indication as to what we might see, you know, in terms of how calm and composed he's looking, then yeah, I think that there's going to be more trust from the coaching staff, especially in the back half of the season. That's when the trust was lost a little bit last year, back half of the season, and I think they were just a little hesitant to go to him in situations where it was maybe 50-50, or where in the first half of the season they might have given Jacob the night off. Instead, they decided to keep rolling with them. Anyway, we'll see, but it's been a really positive start to the season for Dan Vladar. We're expecting to see Jacob Markstrom tomorrow night, Wednesday night, when the Flames host the Edmonton Oilers. It's Pat Steinberg with you. Flames Talk postgame. Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon is where you can get us on podcast, and of course, live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. More postgame reaction from tonight's 3-0 loss on the road in Seattle as we continue along. But the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. No phone calls right now, and no pressure, but if you want to jump in, you're 100% able to. Do have lots of text to get to on that front, though. Starting with Jeff in Lethbridge, who says, Milano showed poorly for a PTO with a great opportunity to make the team. I can't see him getting a contract unless he really impresses for the rest of the preseason. Is it me or is his skating and intensity not up to par? See, I didn't mind Milano as much as you did, Jeff. I didn't think that he was incredible. I didn't think that he popped off the page or anything like that. But I thought he was fine. Again, in the games that I've watched from him, he's been around it. And that's what I think is most important about a player like that. Like, he led the team with 2 individual high dangers tonight, led the team with 5 overall scoring chances tonight. Like, I thought that that's what Milano is. And that's what he's being, if they end up signing him, he's being brought in to give him a little bit more offensive zip that maybe they don't have otherwise on the wing. So I don't think that you're expecting, he's not Johnny Gaudreau. He's not going to jump off the page like that. I've liked that he's been around it. I like that he has been involved offensively, because that's what you're looking for from a guy like him. So I did not mind what I saw from Milano tonight. I thought he was, I didn't think he was great. Like, I didn't think he was the best player for the team or anything like that, but I thought that he was solid in that respect. And I'm really curious, and here's the other part, you know, and this is no knock on Connor Zeri. This is no knock on who did he play with tonight? No knock on Zeri. No knock on, he played with Zeri again. And I thought Zeri was really, really strong in both games. But I'm really curious what Milano looks like when he gets an opportunity to play on the right or left side, maybe with Kadri or with Backlund. And my guess is Kadri's the guy that he'll get an opportunity with near the end of the preseason. That's when I'm going to really, really start evaluating. So look, Has he earned a contract as of yet? No. Has he been so good that he's jumped off the page every time he's had the puck? No. But I do think that there's been some positive in Milano's game. What else we got here? This from Stu in Tuscany. Patty, that was a painful one tonight, but clearly nowhere close to what the regular lineup would be. Listen, all the great play from Vladar as per usual. Would it be safe to say his signing has been the biggest dark horse signing for this team in the last handful of seasons? It's got to be. Vladar's on a league minimum or close to league minimum deal, which is wild because they could possibly have the best goalie tandem in the league this season. Tomorrow should be a dandy with some fireworks. Do I think that's the best dark horse signing they've had in a while? Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably fair. I don't know. We didn't know a whole lot about Dan Vladar when they signed him, or when I guess they didn't sign him, and I'm not trying to be that guy, that the nitpicker, but they acquired him. But acquisition-wise, yeah, I think that is a really solid under-the-radar, off-the-radar type acquisition. We didn't know exactly what he was. He proved himself in last year's camp and preseason and continues to solidify himself with the organization. So, yeah, in that respect, though, Stu, yeah, I do think that is very fair that he's been a really, really strong, one of the better, if not the best, under-the-radar acquisitions in the last number of years. This from Justin in Vancouver. Saw a tweet this morning saying likely Ruzicka or Phillips will need to be placed on waivers to sign Eakin. Is that true, and who would you put on waivers? I really like the size and skill of Ruzicka. Well, you know, when it all comes down to it, you know, the Flames, depending on what they decide to, you know, who they decide to go with as their 13th and maybe 14th forward. You know, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go 13. Don't know if they're going to go 14. It all depends cap-wise what they want to do. Do they go 13 and 8? Do they go 14 and 7? Do they go 13 and 7 and only carry one extra and give themselves a little bit more cap flexibility? That's all still to be worked out. But yes, if they wanted to sign Eakin, at least one of those guys would likely have to be put on waivers. You know, it depends. Like right now, Jacob Pelche, if you go take a look at the forward list, Jacob Pelche is on, Brett Ritchie is not. So you probably swap those two, and that gets him to 13 forwards. If you want to add either of Milano or Eakin, somebody is going to have to go down. Ruzicka, I mean, Phillips would probably be going on waivers anyway, just based on I don't think that he's got the greatest opportunity to be on this team, and I will gladly eat my words if that changes because I am rooting for the kid, but I don't anticipate he'll be a guy that's on the opening day roster. He still has lots of time to change that, though. Just as of right now, I'm not anticipating it, and I will be the first to eat my words if I'm wrong and be happy to do so. But yeah. If they were to do that, you know, probably a guy like Ruzicka would have to go on waivers, and there's some risk in that. I did not love Ruzicka at all in this game tonight. I thought one of the things that has dogged him throughout his career in North America, whether it be in Sarnia of the Ontario Hockey League, whether it be with Stockton in the American League, or now in the NHL, it just I don't know if it's what the right word is. Urgency, compete level, both of those things probably apply. And you talk to people who scout the game, who know it more than you and I do. You talk to people in the organization. You want to see more of that urgency. And an opportunity like there was in this game tonight for him to really pop and really make the most of an opportunity where he could have been one of the best players for the team. You didn't see a whole lot of it. And there were some really frustrating stretches where, you know, he kind of was easily knocked off pucks and easily lost 50-50 battles and stuff. You want to see more urgency. The skill is there. The size is there. The ability is there. But sometimes that urgency is way lower than desired, and that can be frustrating. So I did not love his game with a big opportunity tonight. I didn't think that Ruzicka made the most of it, and we'll see how much that hurts him as training camp continues. But yes, he is waiver eligible for the first time. So is Connor Mackey. So is Yusuf Alamaki. So there are some decisions to make when it comes to that type of stuff. This from Dylan in Revelstoke. Not going to go too far into negatives, considered the Flames' B team faced the Kraken's A team. So here's some positive. Zeri has seriously impressed me since puck drop and Young Stars. Looks stronger, willing to get dirty and shoot. He's poised for a stellar season with top-line AHL minutes. Mackey looked great 5-on-5 as well, and Vladar was good. Valimaki, however, is just not it at all. I know you're all about giving him another chance, Pat, but I'd rather the team have $1.5 million more cap space and a third-round pick than him. Well, okay, a couple of things. First of all, on the positive front, I agree on Zeri. Was really, really strong in this game tonight and has been strong since Penticton. I agree with you 100%. Was strong on Sunday as well. Agree with you on Mackey. For you, so yeah, I thought that there were more struggling moments in this game than there were really strong moments. I still think, first of all, if he goes to the American Hockey League, a good chunk of his salary can be buried down there. So you're probably, I think it's about $300,000 you'd still have on the cap, but the rest of it would be buried. So if he goes to the American Hockey League, most of that will be buried down there. So you'll be able to get around that. It's not a huge cap issue. I was not super impressed in this one tonight. Was hoping for a little bit more. I won't lie. And I'm still hopeful for him. I just don't think this early in the preseason you can say, no, there's no chance, and he's not going to figure it out, and it's time to move on. I still think that there is reason to give him the rest of his contract to see if he can develop here. Because I still go back to the fact the guy lost 2 years of development with the injury, with COVID, with all of it. He basically lost 2 years in his early 20s. That's brutal for a young defenseman. And it's not like that's the only reason why things have struggled. And it's not like you can use it just strictly as an excuse. I just think you have to take it into consideration when making your final call. And I'm not saying he's untouchable. I just don't think you go shopping him for the sake of shopping him necessarily. So maybe he would like a change of scenery. Maybe that's something that he would like, and in which case it changes. I don't know that. But I guess I just am not at the point yet where it's like, nope, completely write off and exit from the organization. There's a big year, but the year is only a couple of days old. We're less than a week into training camp at this point. But I did not love Valimaki's game tonight. I did think he struggled. I thought that pairing with him and Kuznetsov was underwater for most of the night. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. This from Scooter. Not panicking yet, but this lackluster effort by a bunch of guys who don't want to crack the lineup was worrying. Vladar is the only one playing. Totally ridiculous. Maybe Zeri. That comes from Scooter. Says, I'm just bitching like an Oilers fan. Don't mind me. No, Scooter, you can bitch all you want. This says Walker Duehr is a dark horse to make the team. I'm not there. I haven't seen a lot from Walker so far in his two games. I'm not saying that there's completely no chance, but I would put him lower down on my power rankings. Like power rankings wise, forward wise, I'd have other players closer to the top. When it comes to maybe being that guy who can crack the top nine, I don't think that Duehr's been bad. Just hasn't really been a needle mover. My guess would be that he's American League destined to start the regular season. But again, there's still 5 preseason games to go, so things can change. That's a little bit on the text line at 960-960. You can still jump in on the text line, 960-960, or call 403-240-4444. This is your Flames Talk post-game show. Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. We're still going for a little while here, so if you want to chat, feel free to do so. If not, we got lots to get to as well. No pressure whatsoever. Tonight's Alberta Made Player of the Game was Calgary product Matthew Phillips. Alberta Made Player of the Game is brought to you by Wild Rose Brewery and Phillips tonight. Ended up playing 14:03. He was -2, had a shot and 3 attempts, 3 block shots as well. Matthew Phillips was the Alberta Made Player of the Game. Let's hear from the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Daryl Sutter. He spoke post-game in Seattle following his team's 3-0 loss on the road.
I think it was a good game for our organization to look at a lot of different players.
What did you see from some of those guys? Obviously, a good opportunity for them.
But... Yeah, I just think we worked hard. We just didn't have much finish in our game.
Curious about a guy like Connor Zary. I mean, we got a chance to see him in Penticton, and you know, last year he had the injury in training camp. How does this benefit a guy?
It's important. Yeah, I think the experience of playing some of these games is important for him. I think it's important here. He hasn't played, as you said, much hockey. Last year, between breaking a bone in his foot early and then concussion. So really, in a lot of ways, he's probably going into his first pro year.
Daryl, for a guy like that who hasn't played against a ton of NHL competition, like games, what do you hope he takes away from experience like that?
Well, early in training camp or early in preseason games, there's, you know, it's not a whole lot to it, right? Because you're playing basically a third or half NHL players. But as it goes along, then it starts to sort itself out. And then what he takes from it is where he's got to get better. And I'm not just talking about him. You know, the speed, the size, the savvy, all those things.
You talked the other day about sort of the confidence that Dan Vladar got going in the preseason last year. What did you think of him tonight?
Yep, very solid again. I think we talked lots about covering pucks and getting face-offs, things like that, and I think he's really good at it. I think there's always work for him to do, but it's the same thing. He made the team last year and not just in terms of making it, but in terms of getting the trust of his teammates and coaches in training camp. So we want him to take another step in that.
Is that as important as anything, as what he's kind of showing the rest of the guys then, when you talk about it?
Yeah, I think once, you're still a full camp, right? I mean, when you're playing tomorrow, you know, that many games in, four games in 5 days. So, I think that the guys who played with him last year would trust him for sure.
A guy like Adam Ruzicka, who's played primarily center for, I think, most of or all of his pro career, when he gets an opportunity on the wing, what little things are you sort of looking for?
Well, you're looking for opportunity to be in this opening day lineup. Right? That's what you're looking for. And is he going to do that at center ice?
Did he move over back into center?
Yeah, just the third period there. We moved him back with Belche and Phillips. Just moved guys around, moved Cole to wing. Schwent, he was basically because he was really good on faceoffs all night and kind of covering for Connor, quite honest. No, other than I think our goalie was really good.
That is head coach Daryl Sutter post-game following tonight's 3-0 loss on the road in Seattle. And I think you can understand that as you'd expect, Daryl's not going to be super critical. I think the effort was there on a lot of the young players. A good night for some of the players trying to crack the organization. One of those players is Connor Zary. Had himself a really strong night once again. Stood out for a lot of people. Seems like he's been one of those guys, even though I don't think there is a door open for him at the NHL level in the immediacy, like for October 13th. I don't know if Connor Zary, I don't think he's got a really good opportunity to crack the roster. I just don't see a spot. And what this guy needs is playing time professionally. What Connor needs is like a full season in the American Hockey League. In saying all that, a good camp never hurts you. In saying all that, putting yourself a little further up on the power rankings or a little bit of a larger dot on the radar for the organization in terms of if they need to recall somebody at some point, there's nothing wrong with that. So, no, do I think Zary's going to make the NHL roster out of camp? It's too deep at center, and playing him as the number four center doesn't make a ton of sense. Do I think that he can still do a lot for himself and put himself in good stead or better stead with a continued good camp in preseason? 100% I do. Let's hear from Connor Zary. He spoke post-game in Seattle as well.
It was a lot more fast-paced than Sunday. I think they had a more veteran squad in there, so they definitely played fast-paced. So I think for us, it was just kind of getting a feel for that. I think we were a lot younger and just kind of get up to pace after the first few shifts and settle into that was kind of what we needed. And overall, we came at them. We had our chances. We didn't finish. So that's a tough one to you never want to lose. But it's a lot of learning experiences.
Good progression though in terms of you know for the guys that were in the lineup to have this you know kind of natural next step of pretty deep NHL roster.
Yeah, for sure. You want to get your game up to an NHL speed and you want to prove yourself against the best. So I think to kind of have them playing a more veteran-laden roster is good for everyone here and good for us to get our game up to pace, and that's our where you got to be to play in the NHL.
Connor, I know you don't want to get caught watching, but when you are up against those guys, you know, when they have Schwartz or McCann or Gord or any of those guys out there, what are you trying to pick up or what are you trying to prove?
Definitely. I think when you're out on the ice, you're not thinking about it. You're just playing hockey, right? It's just battling hard, playing hard, and you know you have to play faster, harder against guys at that level. But definitely when you're on the bench, I think there's a lot you can learn and seeing how those guys play. And if you do have an opportunity, just kind of take a peek and see what they do to try and see what you can put into your game to bring it to the next level.
Does that sort of measuring stick make you feel good about where your game's at? Like, do you feel like there's not a huge gap there at this point?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you play better competition, you raise your own game. So I think that's how I've always played, is when the game gets faster, the players get better, you bring your level of competition up. So I definitely think that's good to kind of, I guess if you want to say, measuring stick.
I know we talked a lot about missing camp last year because of the injury. What's the experience and the opportunity meant so far this year?
Definitely, it's been awesome. I think, like we've talked about, I've talked about a bit, it sucked not having camp last year. It puts you behind the eight ball by quite a bit, especially when you're missing 3 months. So to get this opportunity to get my feet wet and kind of show myself out there has been really important for me.
It's Connor Zary post-game following Calgary's 3-0 loss, preseason action on the road in Seattle. Zary, another really strong game. Liked him a lot. No points. Obviously, the Flames didn't score a goal, but he played a lot down the middle, had Milano with him for a good chunk of time, Rizichka on the left. They juggled things up a little bit in the third period, as you just heard Daryl Sutter say. But, Zary's been a really, really interesting player so far through training camp, even going back to rookie camp. It's Steinberg with you. Flames talk postgame, Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. As the text line remains open at 960-960, starting to wind things down on the text line, but thought I'd jump in with a few more. This from Robert over at the Ring of Fire. If you see Ring of Fire Calgary on Twitter, you know who Robert M. is. Says, not a great night for guys looking to make the team out of camp. I thought Pelche was a non-factor offensively. It's clear he's not quite ready to make the NHL jump, which is totally okay. Zary has been the biggest pleasant surprise from Penticton in training camp. He's looking like a first-round pick. I'm excited to see what he can do with the Wranglers this year. What are your thoughts on Zary so far in Penticton in the preseason? Well, for me, in terms of skaters, I thought Zary was the guy that popped the most consistently for me in Penticton. There were other guys who had nice stretches. I thought Dewar had a good game. I thought Klapka had a couple of nice games, but consistently over the three games they played at the Young Stars Classic, I thought Zary was the best guy, in my opinion, and the guy that was consistently the strongest, and he's carried that through. I thought he looked good in that intra-squad scrimmage on Saturday. I thought on Sunday's preseason opener at the Dome, he had some really good moments. Here are the things that I notice about Zary. Number one, confidence. You can just tell that he feels more comfortable than he did last year in the American League. And that's almost just like by default, because of how bad things went last year for the first half of the season with the high ankle sprain and missing camp and missing the start of the regular season and then jumping into the regular season with Stockton when everybody else was in full mid-season form. That's not easy to do. It takes a little bit of time to get up to speed, and that's going to mess with your comfort level. So that's, he just, confidence, you can tell. He is doing, we know he's skilled with the puck. We know that he has good vision. We know that he is able to be elusive. But when you're not confident, you're not going to do a lot of those things. Well, he's making plays with the puck that I didn't see. You know, it's not like I watched him in Stockton as much as some of the people who cover that team full-time do, but I watched a decent amount of him in Stockton last year, and just at no point did I see confidence quite like I've seen from him so far in the games he played in Penticton or even the games he's played here. I also notice he's just stronger, and I don't just mean stronger in terms of
board battles and physical stuff with other players. He's also just stronger in terms of the stride stronger. There's more power in it. He's getting these closing quicker. He's getting to pucks quicker in those short distance areas. So I've really liked Zeri. And I think the way that Robert phrased it there, I really like that, is that he's looking like a first-round pick. Not like a first-round pick that's ready to go right away and that's ready to step in right now, but he's still looking like a first-round pick. That's a good way of putting it. Really positive so far on the Connor Zeri front. This from Jim says, what would you say is the weakness in Mackey's game that prevents him from playing in the NHL? In my view, he has NHL size, skating, passing, and game sense. It seems like the Flames were fortunate in health last year on defense, which was really his only obstacle. Milosz looked really good tonight, but I don't think he would be ahead of Mackey in my book. In terms of what Mackey is missing, I don't know if I would sit there and say that there's any one thing that I say is a glaring weakness in his game. It's just, I don't know if he is really spectacular in one area, in any area either. He's a decent skater. In my eyes, not the greatest of skaters. He's got good offensive upside, but not incredible offensive upside. I think the one area that I think would be lacking the most, which would be, I think, the same for a lot of most young defensemen still trying to make their way in the NHL, is I do think kind of the defensive awareness is not the greatest. I think the biggest strength, I just love his physicality and the way he's willing to play physical in kind of all areas on the ice. And I think that he does it in an effective way, not in a way that puts him out of the play or puts him in bad spots. But I do think kind of the defensive awareness, some of the reads, and I've seen some significant improvement in that regard. That would have been the weakness earlier. And I think the fact that, as I've said a few times on Flames Talk in the past, not one team in the NHL had consistency amongst their three pairings or across their three pairings like the Flames did last year. Only one team had three pairings in the top 10 of five-on-five ice together, and that was the Flames. Number one was Anderson Hanifin. Number two was Shillington Tanev. And number three in that regard was Gudbranson with Zadorov. Not one, two, three in the league, but that's the way it worked in terms of rank. But they were all top 10 in terms of five-on-five ice time together. That's significant. And so it would make it easy for, or make it difficult, rather, for a young defenseman trying to crack the roster to get any time, because they were consistent. There was a lot of continuity and steadiness in the play. Like, they were all, there were three really good pairings for how they were used, and they were healthy all year long. So it's a bad combination if you're trying to crack a roster. If you're Connor Mackey, if you're Michael Stone, or whoever you want to point to last year, it was a tough ask because of that. In saying all that, I've quite liked what I've seen from Mackey so far. This says Klapka was good. I'm curious if he cracks the lineup in the next couple of years. Me too. Boy, am I interested in how the Adam Klapka story rolls on. I don't think the game is refined enough to be ready for NHL action anytime soon, but the raw tools are just so tantalizing, right? I mean, first of all, the man's an absolute mountain of a human being. Like Mount Klapka, 6'8", 235. Like, he is huge. He's cut out of stone. I don't know if, like, any less body fat, and I think it would be dangerous. Like, the dude is just an absolute physical specimen, one. The speed for guys of that size is not usually their biggest asset, and in a lot of areas or a lot of examples, it can be a downfall. Well, I don't feel like he struggles in the speed game or the pace game. He's still, I think, learning how to use that massive frame at this level and in the North American level or the North American brand of hockey. I still think he's learning in that regard. There's a decent amount of skill that goes along with that. Like, I really am interested to see where the Adam Klapka story goes from here. I think right now there's a few guys at forward that I don't know if are fair to be put in the this guy could be on the opening day roster conversation. But I think more realistically are jockeying for position and putting themselves kind of see who can be in pole position to be one of the first recalls. That's what Walker Duehr did last year. Duehr didn't make the team out of training camp, but he got a long look in the preseason because he played well. And then when it was recall time, he was one of the first guys up when he came up in November. And I think that's what guys like Klapka, what guys like Phillips, like what guys like even Zeri are trying to do is if there's an injury at that position and they need a recall, not even a recall to necessarily play. Remember, Duehr was up for a little while and only got the one game. You know, in his earlier stages, like Glenn Godden, you go back, he got recalled a few times, didn't necessarily play. But that recall, you get NHL money, you get to be with the team, practice with the team, fly on the charter, all of the perks that go along with being in the NHL could be a good reward. So I'm really curious how that goes, and I think Klapka is one of the guys that's jockeying for position, or could be, as this camp goes along. He was a lot of fun to watch in Penticton. Thought he had some moments in this game against the Seattle Kraken as well. Great stuff on the text line. 960-960. Thanks for texting in. Hey, Flames talk, preseason, regular season, postseason, don't matter. Text line's open, phone line's open. We'll do it all over again on Wednesday night. It's time for your final summary following this game in Seattle. No scoring in the first period. Seattle didn't open the scoring until 12:30 in the middle frame when Daniel Sprong ripped home his first of the preseason. Sprong from Vince Dunn at 12:30 made it 1-0. Less than 5 minutes later, Jaden Schwartz would make it 2-0 shorthanded. Schwartz gets his first of the preseason from Jared McCann and Gustav Olofsson, and it was 2-0 in favor of Seattle after 40 minutes of play. Not a whole lot happening in the third period until the Kraken seal it into an empty net. Andrew Podorowski would score his first of the preseason. Podorowski from Jamie Oleksiak and Carson Soucy at 19:06. Empty net goal gets us to a 3-0 score, which would end up being your final. Final shot, 35-25 in favor of Seattle. Calgary 0-6 on the power play. Seattle 0-3 with the man advantage. Your three stars tonight in Seattle. Number 3, Jared McCann. Number 2, Daniel Sprong. And number 1, Jaden Schwartz. With the loss, Calgary falls to 2-1-0 this preseason. They're back in action tomorrow at home to Edmonton, while Seattle improves to 2-0 the preseason. They're back in action Thursday at home to Vancouver. That is your final summary, and that'll start to wrap us up on your Flames Talk post-game show. For everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Peter Labardius, for our outstanding engineer, Jeff Mason, who just did so much work behind the scenes tonight. It actually is crazy to wrap your head around. Huge thanks to Jeff Mason and our outstanding producer, Aaron Howell. My name is Pat Steinberg. Flames Talk, available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon. Go hit subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Next up is tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Flames at home to the Edmonton Oilers. Preseason Battle of Alberta, 7 p.m. face-off, 6 p.m. Flames warm-up pregame show. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Tuesday night. We'll talk to you on Wednesday night. Final score from Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle. Seattle 3, Flames nothing. This has been Alpine Credits Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
This is CFAC 960 AM, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. A Rogers Sports and Media radio station. Flames Radio is only on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Thanks for listening. Sportsnet.ca/960 has games and times for the next Flames Radio broadcast. This is a copyright broadcast. No retransmission, streaming, recording, or copying of the broadcast in any way is allowed without the permission of the Calgary Flames Hockey Club and Sportsnet 960. Calgary's home for the Flames and the National Hockey League is Sportsnet 960 The Fan.